Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandy Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandy Stankovic. Thank you for being here. Welcome back. And today's episode is all about persuasion. As a matter of fact, the title is Power of Persuasion. So we're going to persuade you to do all sorts of things that maybe you've been thinking about, maybe you shouldn't be doing. So as you run on the treadmill or drive home or watching this episode, maybe you'll be, you know, persuaded to make some things happen. And we have a subject matter expert with us today, and a expert in the field, an expert in all things motivation and persuasion and communication, and that's Jeff Tippett, and he'll join us here in just a second. Let's get started. As you know, here on the Strategic Hot Box, we learn, we love, and we kick some ass. And if you've ever watched an episode of the Hot Box, then you know this. We talk about it every time. If this is your first episode, welcome. We hope, yay, we're excited that you're here. We will, of course, especially in this episode, persuade you to go back and binge watch all of the others. But when I was thinking about persuasion and thinking about preparing for this episode and preparing to talk to Jeff, I was thinking about persuasion and influence in my life and thinking about back in the T-Shots days. And for those friends that are listening and have a relationship with T-Shots as well, then you remember these days with the jukebox. For anybody that doesn't know about T-Shots, it is a small dive bar that I don't believe is in existence any longer. But it was a dive bar that I spent much of my life We don't have to go into details about how much time, but a good portion of my 20s was spent at T-Shots right up the street from my house at the time. And I made a lot of persuasive moments and speeches there to friends to make some poor life choices of their own there with me. But the persuasive techniques and communication that I use there certainly set me on this path of inspiring others to do things. And I think about how persuasive I was in that moment of my life. So in all seriousness, how good I was at inspiring people to do things back then. And then how bad I am at inspiring my children and persuading them to do things in my hashtag mom life now. And, you know, in the 10 years that have gone by, 15 years that have gone by, and getting them to do the simplest things, like put their shoes on so we can get out the door on time. And that's me slamming my fist on the table here. But it's so difficult, and why I'm unable to do it in those moments. And then thinking about how, and career progression, and how I'm able in work from time to time motivate people to be the best that they can be, and what techniques are used in that different avenue. And just thinking about how persuasive communication applies across the board in so many different places. And some people have that magic. If you think about it in the different people that are in your lives or people that you've come across, whether it's motivational speakers or whether it's just your boss or whether it's that one friend that you have, they have the ability to influence. They have the ability to cause people to follow. It's kind of like the Pied Piper philosophy. And we've talked about influence here on the podcast before, and making sure that we are influential in our own leadership journeys and being top of mind in our networks and in our own spheres and in industries and influence groups with people and leaders. So if something does, an opportunity does arise, that you are the one that people think of, that you are the one that is always the person that people want to bring in for a job or a solution, a sales, a consulting gig, a whatever. You know, they want you to be by their side in that process. And influencers from a business standpoint are becoming increasingly popular as well. And so influence persuasion are everywhere. And it, you know, like as I mentioned, it could be personal, it could be business, it could be, you know, social life, it could go all across. And I am seeing this more and more from a social media front. And it is, of course, big business in social media, having different celebrities or influencers on social media. Companies and brands look for people that can bring in new customers and clients based upon their reach. And so not that I've ever watched Vanderpump Rules, right? I mean, not that anybody, that's not that I, but whatever. So, but if I had ever watched Vanderpump Rules, which is the spinoff from Lisa Vanderpump and her, how she employs young people to run her restaurants, really, really hot young people to run her restaurants. And if I had ever watched this show or binge watched this show, I would have noticed that they all have social media accounts. And if I had, you know, of course, then looked at their Instagram and stalked their Instagram accounts, then I would have noticed that they are that they were influencers. And what I mean by that is they have tremendous followings. So there, here are these reality TV stars that are on this show that has a particular audience, and that these reality TV stars then have their own personal Instagram accounts, and those Instagram accounts are followed by, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, and then the those stars then will use a particular product, will do a particular thing, and it will cause all of those followers then to go out and seek those products or services, or at least be influenced by the decisions that those celebrities are making. And that's really powerful. Like that show or not, like those celebrities or not, that influence is really powerful. And so how can we use that type of philosophy? How can we use that type of influence for good? How can we be doing that as leaders? And I would love to learn more today from our subject matter expert on persuasive communication and getting to know the idea of, you know, of persuasive communication. And I was thinking back then in transforming and talking about with my children, you know, if you think about persuasion, getting someone to support or transform their own thinking into growth. And so persuasion really is about positivity in getting somebody to make a decision for themselves. And it's different than like manipulating somebody into doing something. And maybe that's the problem and disconnect that I was describing earlier with my children. It's like, I want them to get their shoes on so I'm not late to work, where they're perfectly happy making, you know, angels on the ground with their arms and legs and would be happy with going to school with no shoes on, where I'm the one that's like, get your shoes on. And so it's a less of a persuasive technique potentially that I'm using. But we'll bring in the expert here to talk to us about how this can apply to our own leadership journeys and how we can implement some of these solutions in our paths. And so our subject matter expert today is Jeff Tippett, and he is known as Mr. Persuasion. So he's perfect in this topic. He's a motivational speaker and author of Unleash Your Superpower, Why Persuasive Communication is the Only Force That You Will Ever Need. So interesting book that we urge everyone to go check out. He's the founder of Targeted Persuasion. He's worked with brands like Airbnb, the National Restaurant Association, the League of Women Voters. He's got his master's in English, and he's also won some awards from the American Advertising Awards. He is the guy. Mr. Persuasion is with us here today. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Brandy. I'm fantastic.
Where are you coming to us from today?
I am in my home city of Raleigh, North Carolina.
I love the accent. As soon as I heard your accent, I knew you had to be somewhere.
There's a little bit of a Southern that's still there that when I travel and speak, people find it endearing. So I'm holding on to that last little bit.
Did you just describe that as a little bit of Southern?
Yeah, it's a little Southern.
I love it. Tell us about your journey in leadership.
You know, I think that my DNA is wired to be an entrepreneur. As a kid, I founded what I thought was a company that I called Snoopy's Yard Service. And in Snoopy's Yard Service, I would go knock on doors and I would get gigs to rake and mow yards. And then I would hire my friends to come do the work. So as a kid, like, I started down this path. I've been in the corporate world. I launched a nonprofit. And then, as you mentioned, in 2014, I launched Targeted Persuasion.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And so even as a kid, you were getting other kids. That sounds like what's the book? And it's escaping my brain right now. I shouldn't bring it up. Yes, exactly. What's the book? He's got it. Huck Finn, and what's the book?
That's right.
That's not the name of the book, though, is it? Tom Sawyer, right? And he cons his friends into whitewashing the fence and everything. So it's kind of like that, except for you were paying them.
I did pay them, so I wasn't quite a con. I did pay them.
Oh, that's great. So you've been an entrepreneur from the start. So tell us then, what is an influencer from your perspective?
Well, you know, when I look at persuasion, and really like drill down, and we can talk a little bit about how it's similar to manipulation and how it's different. But when I drill down to what persuasion really is at its essence, I think it's leadership. I think it's seeing a better future, a different outcome, a better outcome, and then being able to bring people along in the journey.
Yes. And so when you, so really persuasion and using persuasive communication is part of leader. It's ingrained in leadership.
I totally believe it is. And especially as we look at exactly what persuasion means and what manipulation means, I do think it's leadership. And I think, especially as people maybe are in sales or they're having to develop revenue, when you make a mindset shift to understand what persuasion really is, at least from my perspective, it sets us free to go out there and to make things happen.
Yeah, it really does. And so you started dabbling in it. Is there a difference between persuasion and manipulation?
Absolutely. And for me, I learned the difference when I was adopting a baby from the country of Haiti. And I was in a mode where I was always able to make things happen. And through some different things that happened, I just fell flat on my face. And I began to understand at that point exactly what manipulation and persuasion is. And they're both about moving people or mm-hmm. affecting situations. But manipulation means this. It means to control or to influence a person or situation, but to do it cleverly, to do it unfairly. And what happens in manipulation, kind of like the example you just gave, in manipulation, we are seeking change. We're looking for a different behavior, but we're looking at it for our own self-interest. Mm-hmm. That's the big difference. Now, persuasion, contrast, is the same thing as to call someone to do something, but it's to do it through reasoning or argument. Now, when I use the word argument here, let me be very careful, because sometimes people think that's what we do at our tables at Thanksgiving and Christmas as we talk about politics and religion. I'm not talking about that whatsoever. I'm talking about listening to the other person's perspective, what's important to them, where the gaps are, what that person's need is. And then over time, especially through sustained effort and having provided sound reasoning, what happens at that point then is we have persuaded them because they see it for themselves just as much as we see it.
Right. And I talk to, when I work with executive CEOs about just managing their boards or their bosses and managing the relationships they have with the people above them to work with their own communication styles to make it their boss's idea. So if they have a vision, if they have an idea of the end result, the outcomes that they want, to work and to listen and to frame conversations so it ends up feeling like not only are you getting buy-in, but it feels like the person's idea that you're talking to. And that really is persuasion in kind of the sense that you were sharing.
Absolutely. So two points on that, Dr. Brandy. First of all, when I'm negotiating a contract with a potential client, or if I am working with a speaker's bureau, or if I'm working with a meeting planner, I look for two magical words when I wrap up to know if I have manipulated or if I have persuaded. And those two words are, that's right. So when the client looks at me and says some form of this and says, hey, Jeff, that's right. Your company can fix this problem we have. Your company can provide a solution. Or, hey, Jeff, you're right. That's right. You're the right person to be on stage for us. You can fix the problems that our association has. You can bring solutions to the table. At that point, they want it just as much as I want it, just like the illustration you just gave in working like with boards and so forth. Mm-hmm. When they accept it for themselves and they see the value for themselves, then they're there and they're just as excited as we are about it. And you're right, this is about the other person. I devoted an entire chapter in my book called Help Others Find Their Win So You Win. And in this chapter, that's exactly what we talk about. It's taking the focus off of ourselves and putting it onto our audience or the person that we're working with and putting a concrete effort in helping them find their win.
And so when you were saying in the negotiation that there were a couple ways that you can tell, so that's right is the way you can tell it's persuasion. How can you tell if it's manipulation?
You know, when they are ready to get out of your sight, when they're ready to get off the phone, when they're ready to be done and walk away, then you know at that point is that they haven't bought in for themselves. And they're doing it for you, for maybe because of different reasons, but they're doing it because you have twisted their arms, you've moved them to do something for your own benefit, and you can see it in their face, you can see it in their behavior. as opposed to persuasion, when like they wrap up, they are just as excited. And for people that are in sales, I mean, that's just wonderful when we can share a solution to someone and the person looks at this and says, man, I can't wait to write you a check because that's exactly the solution that I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so should leaders use manipulation or should we always gear towards persuasion?
So as you mentioned, I own Targeted Persuasion, which is a public affairs and communications firm, and we do a lot of political work. And there is a lot of manipulation when it comes to political work. I don't think, though, that when it comes to leadership, I don't think there's a place for manipulation. People do manipulate, but here's the problem. You know, you can get a one-off sale likely by manipulating if you're really good at sales, but we know that customer acquisition is one of the greatest expenses a company faces when you look at the cost of marketing, of advertising, of PR, a salesperson. It's extremely expensive. And when we manipulate, likely we might close the one sale, but we're not going to develop repeat business. We're not going to develop a relationship with that person. So it isn't a long-term strategy.
Mm-hmm. And you already talked about listening and framing discussions. What are some other techniques that people can use in being more persuasive?
So in the book, I talk through the first part of it, which is capturing people's attention and three ways that we can, you know, capture our audience's attention. But the middle part of the book kind of defines exactly and explains exactly what you're talking about. And that is, how do we make this connection with our audience? I think making a connection is like this secret ammunition that we have to close the deal and to make things happen. So how do we make this type of connection with our audience? And I go through five different techniques in the book for making that connection. One is humor. Mm-hmm. Like just getting the person to laugh with you, especially if you're in sales. We start like this in sales. We're in one place and they're somewhere else. But if we can come to the same place and that happens in humor, get them to laugh with you. Laugh together. Defenses fall down. Another one is compassion. Like having compassion for what the person is going through, what's happening in their life, whether that's good or bad, or even taking a step deeper and having empathy and not only understanding, but really feeling it in your side, even if that's congratulating them or if it's going through a loss or a pain that they're going through. Storytelling. Mm-hmm. That's why I open every presentation on stage talking about adopting this baby from Haiti and what I went through. My audience connects with me immediately. And the last one that I talk about in the book, and I think this is extremely important when you're dealing with a millennial audience or millennial workforce, and that is being authentic with your audience.
Yes, authenticity, because people can see through it, right?
They can, and I hate to even use the word because it's so overused and misused today. And sometimes even the word, you know, being authentic turns out to be a form of manipulation where we're pretending to be something. So when I have clients or people tell me, hey, Jeff, I'm trying to be authentic, I'm like, stop. Don't. It's not something you try. Mm-hmm. It's just who you are.
I also think that sometimes people use authenticity as an excuse that, oh, I'm just being authentic, so that gives me an excuse to be a total asshole. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just say that. No. That I don't care if you're normally kind of rough around the edges. You still have to be appropriate. You still should think about the other people's end result and that type of thing. Authenticity is more about being vulnerable and being open.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially as our focus is on the other person, like we're concerned about what concerns them. Mm-hmm. If there's a problem in their business, if there's a gap, if there's a need, we're concerned about it. And then our focus is filling that need and making things happen in health, wealth, or finances. You know, the three main buckets that we all have, health, wealth, or finances, helping them, whatever it is that they're looking for, putting our focus on them. We're not going to be rude to them. We're not going to be ugly to them. And when we're authentic, like we're just opening up our warm, genuine self.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about your buckets of the health, wealth, and finances, what's the difference between wealth and finance in that realm?
So it can be a lot larger when it comes to health. Excuse me, I meant to say health, wealth, and relationships.
Okay, so that that pulls it in. So health, wealth, and relationships. And so finances would fit in the wealth realm, but health being broad of both physical and mental health.
And mental?
Yep, and then wealth being finances as well as your own kind of fulfillment, right?
Exactly.
And then relationships of a personal and professional and that type of thing. Absolutely.
Exactly.
That I'm in congruence with you in that. I think that, and all of that plays into that authenticity, as you were saying. Can you share a funny story or something that's happened along the way?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, it wasn't funny up front, but it's funny today. Right. So here's what happened. I do a lot of blogging, and I wrote a post about social media, helping people with social media. Mm-hmm. And I admit I had like a lot of envy over people who had like really snarky ways of saying things. And you've probably seen it on Facebook. Like they'll post their blog, and then all of a sudden, in the next 3 minutes, 757 people have liked it. Like they're mm-hmm. into that conversation because mm-hmm. they've got that snarky tone about them. Well, as you can tell, like that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a very kind person. Like my motivation, my inner essence here is really helping other people succeed. But I had envy. So I wrote this blog post and we titled it, even hate to say this, we titled it, "Your Social Media Sucks, But You Know That."
But you know that.
Yes. And not only did we put it out, that we sent it through email. Oh, I call attention all right. But for the next week, I was putting out fires. So I can look at that now and laugh because, you know, here I am as a brand enthusiast, a brand loyalist. And I tell my clients all the time, stay true to your brand. Like, stay consistent with all that. I exceeded those boundaries. It was very painful. But now I can look back at it and laugh at it as a learning experience just to stay true to who I am.
Did you get a lot of traffic from it?
Oh, a lot of traffic. I got a lot. I mean, within seconds, emails were popping into me and my office was forwarding and they're like, what do we do? We were in crisis communication mode within minutes of that email going out.
But people thought, well, if it sucks, what help me?
Yeah, no, they thought like I was picking on them. Like they're like, oh, you went, did you look at my Instagram? Did you look at my Twitter? Why does it suck? You know, I thought you liked me. I thought you liked That's how the conversations went.
Oh, wow. Well, what a good learning lesson that you had. But you're right. There's so much clickbait out there anymore. And that's part of that influencer piece that what people have to be careful of. And I was giving that example of the Vanderpump of the persuasion, the influencers. People have to be careful of is individuals sometimes will abuse their power of influence too. So those celebrities or those individuals may not even like that particular product, may not even have experience with those products, but use their platform to sell because there's kickback or there's dollars that within it. And rightfully so, if that's a career move, but people need to know, followers need to be eyes wide open going into those situations. I also urge people of influence, whatever the industry, to use those platforms for good, to be sharing and spreading messages of positivity as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big part of my conversations on stage as well is around our influence. And I talk at the end about the greater good and even just beyond good that we do now, how our actions can impact lives beyond us, people that we will never, ever meet, and why that should be a focus and a priority of our life and our work.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Can you share a bold action item or takeaway for everybody today?
Absolutely. So one of the things I talk about in the book, and I think this is a real game changer, especially as it comes to building your finances and building your brand, building yourself there, is understanding how we can set ourselves apart by becoming an industry expert. Now, I don't look for a lot of shortcuts in life, but I will say this. When it comes to persuasion, you can short circuit a lot of the process of going from know, like, to trust, which everyone has to go through before they buy, by becoming an industry expert, by being the guru, by being the go-to person in your industry. So what I walk through in the book is four easy ways to do that. It's first of all, understanding your skills. The three things that you're good at. What are your top skills? And then the second one is figuring out what your onlyness is. Like what spot do you occupy that no one else occupies? It could be your passion, your unique point of view, your accumulated experience, your perspective, your vision. But figuring out and drilling down deep, this one takes a little time, but go down deep and then find your audience. And the last one then is to create the dialogue with the audience. I think this is where, especially for those of us that are looking for a life where it's work with ease, it's less work for more money. This is the perfect place to be there. Industry experts, the guru, that's the place to set yourself apart and be able to make more money and really become that industry expert.
Love it. Thank you very much. How can people get a hold of you?
JeffTippett.com is the easiest way. It's JeffTippett. I've got AdWords on all kinds of misspellings of my name. So if you get anywhere close, they'll find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here and sharing. And you've persuaded all of us to make that happen. And so we appreciate all of your insight and thoughts today.
Thank you, Dr. Brandy.
Let's head out to our shout out.
Hello, Brandy. It's Javier from Panama. We are right now in the Bayou Museum, made it for Frank Gehry. Congratulations for your hot box and came to Panama for a visit us. Bye.
I love the sound of the birds in that shout out from Javier in Panama. That was beautiful. And for those that are watching and you may have missed just that piece of the audio, listen to that one once again. So I appreciate that, Javier. Hello to you in Panama. So thank you again to Jeff for being here with us and talking about persuasion. Let's get our top five kick ass when it comes to persuasive communication and the power of persuasion. Number one is to exude passion. If you don't believe in what you're doing, other people aren't going to believe in you. You gotta love it. You have to exude it. This is something that you just live and breathe. Exude your passion. Number two is to know your shit. You gotta know your shit. And I think that Jeff talked about it in the frame of your onlyness. He talked about knowing your skills, being that subject matter expert. I love that. You have to know your shit. If you want people to understand and be persuaded to, whether it's to buy your product, to buy you as your brand, to be influenced by the things that you're doing, then be and be a part of knowing what it is that you're doing. So being passionate about it, as well as being an expert in whatever that field is. Number three is to be truthful and transparent. We talked about authenticity and not hiding behind authenticity to be, you know, mean to other people, not hiding behind authenticity to not be vulnerable, but using it as an opportunity to really showcase who you are as a human being. And people can see through that. So being truthful and transparent. Number four is to focus on their benefit. So remember, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the other person and how you can provide value to that individual, that they have to know what's in it for them. And being able, persuasive communication really is about the value that they will have in the end result. And number five is to don't forget to love those that aren't going to be persuaded. There are going to be individuals in your life that you will never be able to persuade in one direction or another. And if we go into those situations disliking those people, then you will have less of an opportunity to persuade people that are on the fence. And so my philosophy is love the non-persuaded, and they might even come around someday. So sharing love, choosing love. There's your top five kick ass. Thank you again to Jeff Tippett for being here with us today and talking about persuasion. And I love digging into topics like that. So thank you to all of you that have submitted to us topics that you'd like to hear from us and tackle on the Hot Box. And if you do have something top of mind that you want to send our way, you can email us podcast@strategichotbox.com or head out to the website strategichotbox.com and submit something there. And on the website, we've got lots of information and things that you can download. There's worksheets and there's tools. And there's links. We also have links to all of the different guests. So if Jeff or another guest that we've had here in different episodes struck you, or you wanted to get more information from them or learn more about the topics that we have, there's links there for you to find out more information, see the videos, listen to some different audios and shout outs as well. So lots of tools for you. And of course, we're on social media. I'd love to see you on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Brandy Love. That's BRANDILUV or at Strategic Hot Box. And so until I see you again, you better get out there and kick some ass, or I'm gonna come find you. See you soon.